All right. Well, Sarah and Charles were brought here by the Lord a while ago. And we are very grateful that they are committed parts of this body. And Charles and Sarah love to pray. And they, in fact, host the Prayer and Intercession Community Group, which meets Thursday nights. If you ever want to join the group or pop in for a shot in the arm. And we've asked Sarah to share from the Word and from her heart this morning on prayer. So why don't we all, if you're comfortable, stretch out your hand towards Sarah, and we will ask for her blessing from the Lord before she starts. Father, thank you so much for our sister. Thank you that you are the God of the world and that you move people around to be blessings to your body and other places. And Father, we receive what you have to give us through Sarah today, and we pray your rich blessing and covering over her, the anointing and unction of the Holy Spirit as she speaks, and that you, Lord, would encourage, equip, and build up Calvary Chapel through the message today. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning to all. I was asked to share with you on prayer. I think the most difficult thing to do and the most easiest thing to do, so prayer. And I was asked the title of my message. I figure out how we go effective prayer. And you may ask me if there is effective or non-effective prayer, but I chose to go effective prayer. And I tried to figure out the definition. No definition today, but you will figure out yourself. There's something I didn't like when the teacher asked me. We ask a question hoping that the student will raise their hands to answer. When I didn't know, I felt so embarrassed and I tried to hide. So I don't know about you, but I will ask you if you have ever been in a place somebody say, let's pray, and then they point your name, say, pray for us, and you feel, oh, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? For me, the first time, it wasn't easy, but I figured out I heard this praying this way, so let me just repeat what they say. And then I conclude, amen. That's what I knew. Being a Christian, a Christian is supposed to know how to pray. Nobody had taught me, so it was just repeating what other people said. And there are times we feel like we want to pray. At the time you set your moment for praying, something keeps interrupting you. I don't know about you, but to me, it happens a lot. I'm like, I wake up in the morning, this time, I will go in my room and pray. At the time I set my mind to pray, the phone calls will come, people will knock on my door, or I feel, oh, I want to do something. Of course, Ben will be there, mom, this and this, what are you doing? So there is no that concentration. At the time you feel like you want to pray, you didn't do anything during the day, you were just there. But at the moment it's a prayer time, you feel like tired, exhausted, and you haven't done anything that physically will make you feel that way. There are other times you feel like there is a pressure there. You can't pray, or you are praying and you feel your prayers are not going anywhere. They are just stuck somewhere. And you wonder, is God listening? Is God here? Things like that. There are other times you feel like, yo, I'm going to pray. You get it there. Oh, you are so happy. And you end up laughing. One day, I'm praying. My sister came. She was like, let's figure out this. I'm praying, oh, Jesus, you are so good. And then I'm laughing. My sister thought I was going crazy. So to help me, she was, oh, let me stay here just to know what's going on. If she's crazy, then I can tell the parents. But because she didn't know what was going on. She didn't know the moments I was enjoying at that time. So when I was done, that left something in her heart. She was, Christian can pray and they can laugh. Are they talking to somebody we can't see? But Jesus being a person, God being a person, they were there in the room. So that joy came in there. So my prayer today is that you will come to a place, a prayer becomes a delight for you, not a burden. In the book of Psalm, David is the one who said in Psalm 141, 8, he said, let my prayer be set before you as an incense, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And then somewhere also he said in Psalm, he said that the prayer of the upright, okay, let me read there. Okay, it says that the prayer of the sacrifices of the wicked is abomination to God, but the prayer of upright is a delight, is his delight. And then Proverbs 28:9, it says, one who turns away his ears from the law, even his prayer is abomination. So, prayer can be a delight to God, or it can be an abomination. As a Christian, I will just teach us the prayer of upright. So if you were doing it the other way around and God sees as an abomination, let it be today that it will be a delight to God. There are times I heard people praying. I was like, whoa, how did they learn to pray? Where did they get that? I felt like I want to be like them. I don't know if you've ever been in there, but there are times I feel like, how do they get there? But they got a secret. In Luke 11, if I start from verse 1, the disciples also, when they heard Jesus praying, they were the ones who went to him and say, teach us how to pray. Because they have heard something that was different. This is what it say. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So they wanted to know how to pray. I believe these people prayed, but their prayer was different than what Jesus was doing or how he prayed at that moment. So they wanted to learn more. Myself, I feel I want to know more. As I was reading in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there are many people who prayed and their prayer were answered. All of us, we feel, I want to pray and I want my prayer answered. There are teachings that goes an answered prayer. So, depending on how we define our prayers, then we will expect an answered prayer or a prayer, I don't know, something there. One guy was in Kenya. We went to the prayer meeting everywhere. This man wanted to come to Canada badly. We were poor, we were refugee in Kenya. No place to stay, so we knew when we come here, things would be all right. So everywhere, every prayer meeting, he was present. God answered his prayer. He comes to Canada. He met another guy and said, where are you coming from? He said, oh, I was just at the church. And he laughed and said, hey, do you still go to church to pray? Well, yes, I'm doing it. The other one said, you know what? I don't go there anymore because when I was in Kenya, I was asking God to bring me to Canada. So he answered my prayer. I don't see any point to go back in the church. So there are people who pray because they are in trouble. And you will find them in the churches, in the prayer meetings, because the trouble is present in their lives. And when the trouble is gone, they go back to their normal life. And these are people who know God, who believes in the power of prayer. They will just be there because they know that prayers work. And once it's done, it's gone. Because maybe they have defined their prayer as ask and shall be given, and that's the end. There are other people, they are in trouble, they pray. They are at peace, they continue to pray, but as soon as the trouble comes, they feel like, God, this can't be. Why is it happening to me? And the whole thing changes because a righteous person can't be into trouble, no more praying. But the Bible says that many are the trouble of a righteous person, but God saves him through all. Whether in trouble, whether at the time of peace, the prayer should be there. There are other people who have made the prayer their life. The trouble comes, they are in their prayer, they will continue, they know that we conquer through Christ in their life of prayer. So Jesus taught these people to pray. There are times we feel like, how long should I pray? How am I going to do it? Maybe I'm going to hold my hands like this. I'm going to kneel down. I'm going to speak loud. Or I'm going to do it inside my heart. It may work. Whatever position you may want to take, it may depend with the type of prayer that you are making. The Bible said that we pray with all prayer. So there are different types of prayer depending on the prayer I'm making at a particular moment. That prayer may determine my position. So there is no wrong or right. I will tell you one story of a guy who was praying. For those who don't like to pray with a loud voice, he was in the room, he felt he should pray. And then he's praying in his room. Of course, he didn't want to disturb anybody around, but he felt he should pray loud and loud and louder. He didn't know why. A voice was telling him, pray loud, loud. He prayed, he gets somewhere, he's praying in tongues. Now, those unknown tongues, but he was too loud. But God was using that prayer to save the life of somebody who was going to commit suicide. A man passed by, he hears the voice of another guy, and now this guy is talking in a language he doesn't understand. There is a problem here, let me go figure out. And this man is praying. He ends up feeling that he has to put his hands down, legs up in the window. And then he had to pray really loud. This other guy came, follow the voice. He came and find somebody in the window. It was, of course, another crazy guy. In the prayer, people can be crazy if you don't understand what's going on. So it was, hey, are you all right? What's happening here? So the guy was, I'm praying. Really? That's how you pray? They talk. So he ends up, this man was, before I kill myself, I need to help somebody who is in trouble so that I can accomplish my mission. But God was, by doing all this crazy stuff in prayer, somebody's life is going to be saved. So he came, then they talked. The guy ended up accepting Christ because of just that thing that happened there. So you may be wondering why some people go kneel down, head on the floor. Whatever the Spirit asks you to do, just go by that. Now Jesus told them, this is how you are going to be praying. He laid an outline of the prayer. For those who know how to analyze things, they can tell you there are six titles in this prayer, Our Father in Heaven. There are those who know how to do it. I'm not expert on that. But it was a layout of how to pray. There are times we figure out, how long shall I be praying? And there are times people pray, you feel, oh, make it short. I wish this can be shorter than I expected. But then there are other people who take their time and pray. Hours and hours. And you went, what are they telling God? Okay, because the Bible says that even before we open our mouth, He has already answered. Then you wonder, why should I be there praying? Why can't I even leave it there? Always, God knows my needs. But God, knowing the power of our word, He just wanted us to attach whatever need we have with the word that He will bring down here. We are agreeing with God what He had intended to do just by speaking it, declaring it, bringing it back down here. So depending on the type of prayer and what you intend to tell God, you can be in your room for a minute, a second if you want, and you can even be there the whole day. You may ask me, how may I do that? The person who taught me how to pray the first time, he said, you know what? It's good to spend time with God. But I was like, what do I do? How long can I sit? Oh, you try 5 minutes. You try. If you can manage 5, you can do 10. I really wanted to be there, but I didn't know what to do there. Most of our prayers start something like, God, this and this. Or in the morning when you get up, oh, God, help me, I'm going to work. Or be with me. And you are gone. You come back, thank you that you were with me. Those are good. And you pray when you go to eat. Oh, God, I'm going to eat. Bless the food, it's done. In the bed, you are like, God, I'm going to sleep. Give me a good night. Things like that. Those are also prayers. But there are other prayers where you have to be there and enjoy the presence of God. The way it started with me, somebody said, okay, if you don't know how to pray, just find a reason to thank God. So I was like, oh, wow. You know, sometimes we pray and say, God, thank you for everything you've done. I've done that many times. But at that time, I sat down and say, okay, God has done many things. Let's start from where I am. So I started from my body. I go thank Him for my fingers. There are those who don't have 10 fingers. There are those who don't have this and that. I don't know how long ago you thank God that you have a heart that is still pumping the blood. Mine is still pumping the blood for 40 years. Those things, God has done those things. So if you were to be there, you were like, I'm happy that you gave me this, Lord. I'm bringing it back to you that I have it. There are people who can't work. Like Lynn, and now he's pushing. They are pushing her. But if you get up, you are like, whoa, I walk on that driveway every day. It's icy. Maybe I was, it's even bad. I never fell down. That was your protection, Lord. Though she's like this, she can say, Lord, I thank you that my foot didn't go away. It's still here with me. It's painful, but I can still move with it. So there are times we are just like quick when it comes to God. But Jesus told them, when you go to pray, just say this way, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay. When people prayed in the past, before the arrival of Jesus Christ, they had a different way of starting their prayer, their relationship with God. There are those who we go, God Almighty, God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So maybe Jacob said, God of my father. Isaac said, God of my father. That's how they started. But it comes to Jesus. Jesus, knowing his father, he goes to pray and he says, Oh, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. But Jesus didn't have an earthly father. But he dare say, Father, you always hear me. He was telling people, I have another father that you don't see. And I go to him as his child, as his son. So when I talk to him, this is the relationship we have with him. Yes, he's God Almighty. Yes, he's all powerful. People fear him. Yes, he is Jehovah Jireh, God the provider. Yes, he's the creator of heaven and earth and everything in there. But he is my father. So I want you to experience that relationship with God you've been calling without knowing that he's also your father. I have come here so that he can be your father. So when you take it that way, your approach when you are going to God altogether becomes different. There are those who go to God, depending on how long you know him, you can go as a little baby, do whatever you want. As you grow up in your spiritual life, there are things you have to adjust. But still, you are a child of God. If, of course, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So, with that relationship, then he goes, Hallowed be your name. His name that is holy, that is sanctified, that is set apart for a particular purpose. So if you go that way, you know your Father, how you relate to him, and you know his name. God has different names. Okay. So let's take this part as a part that you enter his presence with praises and thanksgiving in your heart. So you are coming him also to worship him. Now this is how I know my God. Well, let's start it this way. I heard God being Jehovah Jireh, that one, I love it because everybody likes to receive. Okay. So I've heard him, his name is Jehovah Jireh. That name was set apart that way as God of provision. When I go to him and I remember that he has provided something that I couldn't get from my parents, from my friends, or with my own strength, then I go, Lord, you are really Jehovah Jireh. This is what you did. You did it for me. You did it for another person, this and that. There is nobody else who could do like that. If you were to take that name, you could praise God for what he can do. You could worship him through that name. And you can also thank him for that. You are still doing that. You haven't come to a place you ask God anything. Now, depending on how many names, it says, Hallowed be thy name. If I were to ask you people, what's the name of God? You will tell me different names. So to me, when I pray, I add a name that I know it's a name of God. That shows me his character, that shows me his nature, and also I thank him for what he's done. That moment, if you were to do it, it can even take you an hour, it can take you 2 hours, and this is what I like when it comes to praising, worshiping, thanking God. You are preparing the ground of your other prayers you're going to make in that moment of praying. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So when God comes down, for sure the enemy runs away. If you are in your room and say, Jehovah is Jehovah Nissi, that's Jehovah my banner. The flag is there on you. The enemy looks at it. Yes, the flag is there. You belong to Jesus. And your soul is confessing that I belong to him. Nobody owes me, only God. Nobody owns me, only God owns me. So you are preparing the ground. Only God can know what is in my heart, but the enemy can't know what is in my heart. But once I shout it, he has the ears to hear. And then that name only. If I take the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow at the sound of that name. So the enemy also will bow if I do that. So I take the time to thank God for the blood of Jesus, what Jesus has done, so that we stretch your moment of praying. And when you do that, maybe you had a need that you wanted to present to God. Some needs just like disappear, or you get a solution even before you open your mouth. Or it changes the way you were going to make your petition prayer, because you had taken your time to honor God, to lift his name up, bringing down his presence in that place. Once that is done, we are asking the kingdom of God to come. You may ask me, the kingdom of God is everywhere. Yes, because God is omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient. It's everywhere. But there are some areas, if you look with your own eyes, you find, I don't see the ruling of God in this area. There are some areas in my life I want to be adjusted, corrected. So it's not God ruling that area in my life that doesn't please God. So I have to call the kingdom of God to come and reign. And that's the kingdom that cannot be shaken. So if that kingdom is being established, God is governing in that area of my life, or that area of our lives, then things change. That when I come even to know the will of God, because I'm doing the right thing there. So at that time, those things are happening. You can know the will of God even before you ask, because you had already told him, let your kingdom come, your will be done in my moment of praying. There is something I read in the Bible that was so good. It was David who said somewhere in Psalm that, set a guard on my lips and be the doorkeeper of my mouth. I think my lips door. So I was like, whoa, my lips has a door. So if God will be the guard of the door of my lips, there are words that I'm not even gonna let come out from my mouth, because I had told him, okay, your kingdom need to be established even when I speak. Okay, so he's the one governing. Even through prayers, God can do it. The Bible says that We give sacrifices of praise. You may ask me, how do you praise God when it's hurting so badly? And that's why they call those sacrifices of praises. There are times good things happen, I jump and I thank God, but there are other times it's so bad, but then I have to do it because I know the power in that praising. And here he goes down and say, give us our daily bread. our petition, prayer, things we need, things we desire in the life. And Jesus goes on to say, this you will find it in John 15 and 16, and I think in John 14, where he says, whatever you ask in my name, believe it shall be given. So it's a whatever. So that anything. I was like, how is it possible that anything we ask is going to be given to us? I don't know if it's your question too, but to me, it was a question I had to ask myself. Either it's just something that was put in the Bible like that, it's true, maybe it's not true, but it's saying whatever thing I ask, it shall be given. So this is where many of us go wrong. We pray, we ask things, those things are not happening. And somehow we would die even without receiving that very thing we were asking for. And we wonder if the Bible was telling the truth or if the Bible told a lie here. When I was looking at it, I just went analyze things in the Bible. Of course, it's written that way. And another place he say, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you that you may bear fruit, much fruit, that remain. Then whatever you ask in my name. All the time our prayers goes this and this and this and this and that, and we finish in Jesus' name, but we don't get what we're looking for. But we have finished in Jesus' name. That whatever, it's not granted to us. And then there is another part of the Bible that it says, if you remain in me and my word abide in you, then ask. Again, it's a whatever you ask, it shall be given to you. This is where I came to realize there are times a need is present. And then I run into my room to ask, but I did not check a need or desire. I did not check if what I'm going to say lines up with the will of God on that particular thing. Where did that desire come from? The Bible says that he's the one who calls us to will and act according to his will. But we also have our own desires that are not caused by God in our lives. So any desire, any need that was caused by God, and you go back to God and call it, that thing for sure will come to pass. And if I have a word of God that lines up with that need, and I'm doing it because God has set it there, for sure it shall come to pass. There is a lady who had the story with the five guys who came to her and say, all of them told her that God told them that they should marry her. So she prepares a party and say, you come at my house 5 to 2, you get there 2, you get there 5 past. So each guy came in without knowing that there was another guy there. So she had to ask them, okay, you are 5. God told you that you should marry me. You tell me how that can be possible. So all of those, because somebody said it, then I had to check, which voice did I hear? I have a desire to marry this woman, but what voice did I hear? So one guy was honest to say, I didn't hear anything, just I love you. And that was the one who married the lady. So all we're asking for, whatever. So it was just like that. Now imagine being in a situation where you have to answer such a question, being a woman. It may take you longer in your prayer to go figure out who's right, who is wrong. Maybe she loved, I don't know how many. But if we check in the Bible, Jesus took much time before he started his ministries. 40 days of fasting and prayer. And at the time he was to choose his 12 disciples, the Bible said that he prayed all night to make the right choices. It took a whole night. And at the time he was to be crucified, he only asked 1 hour with his disciples. So, depending on the need that is on your heart, how is it weighing on your heart? That may determine also how long you'll be there praying to make the right choices. So we are still on whatever we ask. There are times, the Bible says in James 4:3, that we don't receive because we did not ask. But then when we ask, this is what happens. King James says, we ask amiss. They say we are asking incorrectly or inaccurately, or we are doing it in error or mistakenly. Though the desire was there, you are doing it not in the appropriately. There is something wrong in the way you are doing it. That one won't be answered. And then he continues saying that we ask, just our motives are not right because you want those things for our own pleasure. When I was reading the Bible, wherever people needed help, their prayer was, God, for your name's sake, then do it. For your glory, then do it. We are looking for this. And Anna was praying. This was a kind of a strange prayer. She prayed and nobody knew how she was praying. Maybe no sound was coming. She was mistaken to be a drunkard woman. But she said it was out of sorrow of the heart that she prayed that way. But she ends up saying, God, you give me this child, a boy, I will give him back to you. That was to give glory back to God. There are times we pray, somebody's bothering me. I feel I'm not at peace at all. I'm like, God, it's too much. Change this guy. Let me talk about Charles. He doesn't give me that heart. My praise, change him. Make him this way, this way, this way. And there is a time also I did it, okay? I was like, God, change him. But in the end, in the middle of my prayer, I was, do I really want him to be changed for my pleasure or for the pleasure of God? So the answer was, for the pleasure of God, then I will benefit from it. My prayer changed. I said, God, just usher him into your calling. Bless him this way. Oh boy, my prayer changed. That's why he's a change man. So you may ask yourself, when, how long does it take God to hear my prayer and answer? When we pray, God hears right away. Because I'm talking about the prayer of a righteous person, okay? If it's not that one, then it's an abomination that needs to be corrected. God answer right away. But the problem is from the time he hears and the time I receive what I've been praying for. You read in Daniel 9. If you go in Daniel 9, he made a very long prayer, but this is what he said when we go to verse 20. He said, Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and sins of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening sacrifice and informed me and talked with me and said, whatever he said. Daniel 10, then again from verse 13, it says, this is what it says. Again, he was praying. Then verse 13. But the prince of kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. So with this, two prayers that are being answered. One, the answer, the angel came at the time of evening sacrifice. But he had studied his prayer before that time. Another one, he prayed from day one. It took 21 days for this prayer to receive the answer of what he was looking for. But in the two passages, they say at the time he was still praying that his prayer was answered. This is what happening in our prayers. We set our mind to pray. The answer is there coming. Of course, God knows the right timing. But in the middle there is another war that is taking place. Here he said it was the prince of Persia that was there. And then he said once he's gone, there will be another one, the prince of Greece. So the Bible said that we are not fighting with flesh and blood. At the time you set your mind to pray, that's why there are times you feel like there is a pressure there stopping you from praying or doing what's right. And after you have prayed, without doubt, of course, the enemy will always try to interrupt so that you may not get that answer you've been looking for. And if you don't get it, then you will go, the prayer doesn't work. But it took him 21 days. So there are powers of darkness, the principalities that try always to get our answers. But it's up to us to fight against them and do the right thing. There are times we pray and we go, oh, I've been praying for this long, but it's not coming. I think it's not gonna work. I think I did it wrong. All those negative words. As I said again, the devil has ears. The demons have ears. They can hear. You are saying, I pray it doesn't work. Of course, they will make it harder. Until you know, I pray without doubt, and it shall be done in the name of Jesus. And then you are ready to receive that one. I've been in a situation when I wanted to come here. It took so long, and that taught me how to pray too. But all the time when people were asking me, when are you going to Canada? When are you going? Everybody's asking me the same question that I don't have the answer. But it looked impossible. But the day I was told not to kill my prayers by the negative confession, I said, well, I'm waiting. I'll go back to check back until it came. I was trying not to kill my prayers. Now, you may be wondering, prayer is good. It's a delight to God. why are we not really praying if we know it's good, if we know that the prayer opens the heavens for us? What's going on? Why are we not excited about it? Where I pray, things happen. There are things that we know for sure it's in the will of God. Why am I not doing it? Why are you not doing it? The answer is for you. There are people who say, well, why should I be there praying? What pray for? There's a time I say, I'm going to be fasting on Friday, pray for my own issues. One Friday I did it, 2 hours after prayer, I had nothing left to pray for. And I was like, God, I had said that Friday will be my day of prayer and fasting. Because I was just like, considering me and God, I didn't include anybody else on that day. So when it was over, then when I say, whoa, I committed this day, so I should be praying for other people. And I enjoyed the result when I pray for those. There are many people the Bible tells us to pray for. He said that we pray for all men with thanksgiving and supplication and prayer. All men, the kings and people in authority. And again, if I go, these are the people in authority in my home. I'm praying for them in Steinbach, in this Canada, North America. Then your time to pray is being expended. And then the Bible said that we pray for our enemies. That's even a big test. I don't know what you do there when you try to pray for your enemies. That's something I feel like my flesh doesn't want to do it. But again, if I do it, it's for the glory of God, and then I will benefit from it. I read a book where somebody said he was told to pray, but he didn't know why. Then he was told, pray because the Bible says so. But when the Bible told us to pray, he attached also the reason why we should pray. A few of the reasons we should pray. When we pray, the Bible says that we let our prayers and the requests with thanksgiving be known unto God. Then the peace that surpasses all our understanding will cover us, if I may paraphrase it, will guard our heart. If I don't pray, if I don't do that, there are peace that I need that will never cover my heart. I do it, I pray, it's gone. There are people when they have problems, they need somebody to talk to, and they talk, for sure the problem is gone. Even with God, when I go there, I do that way, and it's gone. Sometimes when I'm praying and it's not in the will of God, it doesn't stop me. I do it until God turns it around and helps me to pray the right way. And also it says that we pray so that we may not fall into temptation, that we may overcome our flesh. There are things that we do and they are done in our flesh, and we think that we have done it in the will of God. But through prayers, there are many things that we overcome. And again, in Matthew, that is where he said that, for we don't know that day, so we pray. And I like this one also in Luke 21:34. It says, but take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighed down with, I think it's carousing. I don't know that word. C-A-R-O-U-S-I-N. Carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day comes on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. If I think it that way, I want that when Jesus comes, I'll be found worthy to stand in his presence, not to find me sleeping. There are those who will be left behind. So I don't want to be one of those. I ask you, why are we not praying and we know it's a good thing? The devil knows better. He knows the word of God. He quotes the scriptures to Jesus too. So he knows many things written in the Bible. And this is what the Bible said, that we ask that it shall be given so that our joy may be full. If the devil can fool you around, he knows that you are not going to ask, then your joy is not going to be full. He will do all that it takes him to stop you from praying. He knows if you were to dare go and pray, God, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come to Steinbach. These people who are living as prostitutes, they change. They turn back to you. He knows he'll be losing. So he will make sure that you get distracted, that you don't even understand the value of the prayer. And you feel like, I don't even have anything to pray for. But there are people who are there suffering. When God spoke about the house of David, this is what David said. Oh Lord, your servant, I have found this prayer in my heart that I pray today. God has spoken about his future. So in our heart, there is a prayer that needs to come out. There are times we ask God things. Yes, they are there. But there are times also we need to shut the door of the enemy. Even talk to him, say, get out of here by the blood of Jesus. And he goes away. The prayer works. Let us not give the enemy any other reason or any other motive of not praying. I'm done. But I want to leave this challenge with you. You may be here. When you hear like, let's pray, you feel like, it's embarrassing. It's not coming from me. And you want to break that thing. Today, let's break that. Because the Bible says that, pray for one another. There is a time I need your prayer, but you say, I don't know how to pray. What shall I say? Even one word can make the difference. We always see the prayers in the public. They are most of the time short. And we think that's the prayer, that's all about the prayer. It's because of the time. But at home in your room, there is lots of time. That's where the prayer starts. If you can't do it there in your room, don't even expect to do it in a public. There are times you want to pray and we are shaken. Our prayer has to shake the devil, not us to be shaken in his presence. For we have God Almighty, the powerful God, who has the all glory and all the power. And there are times you feel like, okay, I will pray for you in my heart. Let's do it. Let it come out. In Revelation, the elders were worshiping God, the four living creatures. When they were saying, holy, 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 God Almighty, then the elders join in and worship God. Me praying and somebody here, you can say an amen. It can cause you to worship God. You are here. You feel that desire of praying is growing cold or it's gone. Let's ask God that comes back. Father in heaven, I thank you for you are our Father. You are our leader. You are our helper. You are our deliverer. Lord, I thank you for your word that brings life. Lord, I pray that every word that was spoken, Lord, it grow according to thy will. You know everyone in this place. You know where we stand, O Father, when it comes to the prayer. You know where we go when it comes to our relationship with you. My Lord, I pray that this will be a new day and a day of determination in our lives. Amen. I'm going to do something with the Pastor Rob. He did it, so I will give myself a permission to do it. Okay, we are here. I just want to ask. Okay, let's close our eyes just for the sake of those who are shy like me. You are in this place. You feel like I can't go past 2 minutes, 5 minutes in my prayers. Just I want you to lift your hands up. We're going to pray that God will bring you to another level in that area. I see some hands going up. Like if you feel something is stopping you from praying. Okay. And I want to ask those, you are here. You don't remember the day you say, you've never done this, Christ, given your life to Christ. And as I say, only the prayer of upright people. We are upright because of Jesus Christ. It's an abomination to God. You've been trying to pray, but it's not going anywhere. I want to help you by slipping up your hand too. And then today, we're going to accept Christ together. Are you here? Okay, there are hands that are in the air. Okay. Pastor Rob, can you help me to pray here? Okay, let's keep our hands up for those who lifted your hands up. Okay. I'm going to pray for you and Pastor Rob, we pray for you. And he may call even other people that I didn't call. Oh, Father, we thank you again for your word that brings life and life more abundantly. Lord, by lifting our hands up to you, we confess that there are times we wanted to pray, but we couldn't make it. But Lord, we are trusting you that from today, we are going to pray as never before. Father, these people who raise up their hands, I give them to you right now, that you, Holy Spirit, help them to pray and to know where they went wrong in their prayers. Oh God, I'm asking you, Father, that there will be an increase. Lord, you are raising up an army that will go to the battle, for you have called them for that. Lord, I ask that you put your word in their mouth, that they will speak your word when they stand before you, that they will come to a place they know how to worship you, how to praise you, how to bring glory to you in their lives. I come against every spirit in their lives that is stopping them from approaching you. Every accusation spirit, in the name of Jesus, I say you have no right to these people. In the name of Jesus, I say take out your hand from them. They belong to Jesus Christ who defeated you. In the name of Jesus, I come against that spirit that try to control their prayers moment. I come against that spirit that entertain them with the different things and the care of this world. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit that is paining them and hurting them to the point they can't open their mouth to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray that they'll be free. Lord, I pray for these who raise up their hands, who wants you to be their master and savior in their lives today. Lord, I pray that you write them in the book of life from today. Lord, seal this act they have made, O Father, and I ask that in their mind, let them know that they are written in the book of life. Let the accusation and the condemnation of the enemy be erased from their mind. Amen. Okay.